Well, let's open up to the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter number 4.
Of course, this chapter, as you know, if you've been coming on Sunday evenings regularly, this chapter has 4 parables. We looked at parable number 1, the parable of the soil. That parable of the soil explained to us why some people don't get saved. The last time we were in Mark, we looked at the second parable, which has simply told us why some Christians don't grow. Today we want to, as I said, take a look at this third parable, and it begins in verse number 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Let's go ahead and read down through verse number 29. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and it should sleep, and should sleep, and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of himself, of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Father, we thank you for your word. Father, may your Holy Spirit fill each one of us now as we look into it. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have this parable of the growing seed. We're introduced to this man, the sower, who puts his seed into the ground. And we talked under the parable of the sowers about how they would sow the seed, how they would cast it out. They didn't, of course, have any equipment to do it. They would do it all by hand. And this is taking a further step beyond what the parable of the soils did. This is assuming that the seed that is sown here falls on good ground because it all appears to bring forth fruit. But he casts the seed into the ground there in verse number 26. And so the first thing we see here in this parable about this growing seed is that the results are produced as a result of labor. The results are produced as a result of labor. Now, the whole idea here is about souls getting saved in this parable. And so when I'm talking about this first point, the results are produced through labor, the idea is that souls don't get saved unless we go out and work for them. And that's one of the things that God is trying to tell us here in this parable. And he's using an illustration that's easy enough for all of us to understand, that of a growing plant that produces some sort of fruit. If you leave the seeds in the little seed pouch, if you go down to plant a garden and go to Walmart and pick yourself up a package of seeds, if you leave those seeds in the package, they probably aren't ever going to grow, are they? Or if you take that package and just throw it out in the yard, they may grow, but not very well. It takes some work, doesn't it? The ground has to be prepared. A good old rototiller. Don't you love driving that rototiller? It'll knock you to death, won't it? And I gave up rototillers. If Amy wants a garden, she's going to have to teach Guy how to use a rototiller. But trying to go through the hard ground we have here and all the thick grass that we have, that's a lot of work. But if we want to grow a plant from a seed, we've got to do the work. And after you prepare the ground, then you've got to plant the seed in the ground. This verse assumes that the ground has already been worked. It's ground that's been prepared for the seed. And so we see built into this statement that Christ makes in verse 26 about the seed that this man should cast seed in the ground, that the ground has already been prepared. The labor has already been done in order for the seed to produce. Now, even at this, we've got to back up even a little bit further. The results are produced through labor, but in order for that seed to leave Walmart in its little packet and get out of the pack and be placed in the ground, it needs a little help, doesn't it? Implied in here and mentioned in just simply the word man, is the fact that there must first be a sower. When it comes to the gospel message, we know that God could just simply do it all himself. That God could speak out of heaven to any individual that he wants to see saved, and that individual could hear the audible voice of God coming out of heaven telling them to get saved. But God chose not to work in that fashion, didn't he? God could do it, but he chose not to. And of course, he could have sent angels to deliver the gospel message. He sent angels on so many occasions with so many messages. He could have done it also with the gospel message. But again, we know he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose to use other Christians to share with the lost of the gospel message. And so we are now the sowers. And so if that gospel seed is going to be planted in such a way that it's going to bring forth fruit, we've got to go out there and offer ourselves as a sower, as a laborer, and then do the work that's necessary to planting the seed. Oftentimes that requires the ground, the soil, to be prepared. That's through friendship, through a clean testimony and clear testimony before those people that you work with or that are in your neighborhood, so that they know that there's something different about you. There has to be some preparation. It takes work. The results only come through labor. Now, in order for this sower to get out there and sow that seed, he has to make sacrifices in other areas of life. He may not get the rest that he wants to have, and this is even more so perhaps in the harvest when the fruit is ripe, but still there's only a certain length in that sowing period. And if you're going to plant a big garden or if you're going to run a farm, you've got to get out there and get that seed in before it's too late. And sometimes that requires sacrifice. And this is why so many people don't witness, why Christians won't witness. And that's the subtitle I put on this parable, Why Some Christians Won't Witness. It takes work. It takes sacrifice. It takes planning. It takes time to do what it is necessary, first of all, to plant a garden, but also to win souls to Christ, to plant that gospel seed. And so the first thing we see about this growing seed is that the results are produced through labor. In verse number 27, it talks about this laborer or the planter, the man, sleeping, getting up in the morning, night and day. In other words, the concept being given is that he's just going through his ordinary affairs of life. Day after day after day after day, he's just doing the normal routine. And it's implying the passage of time as he's doing this. And so he put the seed in the ground way back here, and then he allows time to pass. And it tells us that this seed will spring and grow up, and he doesn't understand how that works. What Jesus is trying to tell us is that the results aren't immediately apparent. The results aren't immediately apparent. If you try to grow plants from a seed, the first thing you do when you plant that seed is just let it grow, don't you? You don't go out the next day and expect to see a full plant bearing fruit already. It takes time. And you know by faith and by experience that that seed under the ground is probably doing something as it's getting ready to send out its shoot. But it usually takes a little while for it to do even that. And you don't see how all of that is taking place under the ground, under the dirt. And chances are you don't understand that how all the processes are taking place underneath the ground to turn that little seed into a plant. We don't understand it. We believe it. We see it. We, by faith, expect it to happen. But the fact is we probably don't understand what God does in that seed to have it create a plant. And so, it is with the gospel. As we plant that gospel seed, we don't see how it's working in the heart and in the individual that we've shared it with. And even though it may not seem like anything is happening, we cannot see the inside of that individual's heart and in their life, seeing how God is working with the Holy Spirit on that individual and bringing conviction on their sin. And so if we expect to see some immediate decision every time, it would be like planting a seed and going out the next day and saying, "Where's that plant?" And digging it up to make sure you're looking in the right spot, make sure that seed is still there. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it, with a seed? And it's foolish for a Christian to think that every time we're going to see that result. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, God talks about planting and watering and God giving the increase. God's using the same principle He's using right here, trying to let us know that it's a process. And it's a process that we don't understand. A process that we can't always see working in that individual's life. But by faith we believe that it can happen. By experience we know it can happen and that it isn't always immediate. And so we have to learn patience. And so the second reason why some Christians won't witness, first of all, was because it's work. It takes labor. Secondly, is because the results aren't always apparent. I believe that most people that get saved as a result of the gospel witness that I've given that I probably don't even know about. If you pass out gospel tracts, you probably don't know the individuals that are getting saved as a result of passing out that gospel tract. Because usually they don't come back to you and then oftentimes have no idea how to contact you and let you know. But if you have any contact with a gospel tract, ministry, you realize that they daily are getting tracts sent back to them saying, "We accepted Christ." And they don't always know who handed out that tract, but God's keeping track, God's keeping record. And so oftentimes we don't see the results. We can't see how God is working in the heart. And we may have done an effective job in planting the seed, or we may have come along and watered that seed very effectively so that down the road a little bit, they're going to get saved, and we don't know it. And it's easy to get discouraged because we can't see it. And so a lot of Christians won't witness for that very reason. But if we quit gardening for that reason, if we gave up on those plants and just let the grass grow and the weeds grow wild, then we wouldn't get anything, would we? But if we learn to be patient and just let God's ways develop on their own, with a plant or with a gospel message, then we'll be effective and we won't quit. Well, as we move into the third verse, verse 28 of our parable, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." All right, now it's talking about the plant having grown. But what we see here, it tells us the earth bringeth forth the fruit. It's not the sower, it's not the farmer, it's not the man tending the garden, but it's the earth. That God put all the ingredients, everything necessary for that seed to grow in the earth. Now, the sunshine and the fertilization of that soil to put nutrients in there all help in the process. But nevertheless, it's not so much with the aid of man. And that's what God's trying to put forth here, or trying to make clear to us, is that God is the one who does the work. But it does bring forth. A seed does bring forth a plant. As it says right there, first of all, there's the blade, then there's the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. And so we're given this picture of a plant developing from when it first shoots out of the soil to being fruitful and ready for harvest. Now, harvest comes in the next verse. But here's something we also need to understand. Because I think we have here a third reason why many Christians won't witness. Because somewhere along the line, we've won a soul to Christ. And they may have come to church for a few times and they drop out. And we wonder, well, whatever happened to them? What God is telling us here is that there has to be a maturing process. There has to be growth in the life of a Christian, just as in the life of a plant. A Christian doesn't get saved and become a spiritual giant overnight. It doesn't work that way. It's just as the plant. They start out just simply as this blade, just that shoot, just popping through the soil, just getting started. And a farmer would be foolish to expect fruit off that plant at that point in its life. But if tended to properly, if it gets enough sunlight, if it gets enough water, if it has enough nutrients in the soil, if tended properly, that plant will continue to grow. And it'll get to the point to where the ear appears. And so it's maturing. It's not ready to bear fruit yet, but it's maturing and it's getting ready to, because it's had proper nurturing up to that point. And with continued proper nurturing, it will produce the fruit in that ear as it described here. And it's the same way in the Christian life. When we see a soul get saved and they drop out, we get discouraged. Now, we need to chase after them and we need to help them and encourage them. And not all of them are going to come into church and not all of them are going to do what they need to do. But we can't let those things discourage us. We have to keep sowing the seed. We have to keep planting the seed. We have to keep nurturing those that have received the life of Christ. And some will produce fruit. We saw that in the parable of the sower, or of the soils, where some brought forth, and it talks about different amounts. Some will be more fruitful than others. Don't get discouraged by those that don't produce much. You just keep sowing the seed. You keep sowing the seed, keep planting the seed, keep watering the seed, keep nurturing so that it can produce fruit, having reached maturity. And don't quit anywhere in the process. It's easy to get discouraged because we're fighting in a spiritual battle. And the devil is pretty slick at bringing discouragement and causing Christians to quit. It's not just in this simple area, but in all areas of the Christian life. People quit reading the Word of God because they say, well, I haven't gotten much out of it, or I have trouble staying alert when I'm reading the Bible, so why should I waste my time? And so they put it down. The devil is slick. You need to keep reading that Word of God. You need to keep studying that Bible. You don't give it up for those reasons. I think you know better than that. We don't quit coming to church because maybe we get drowsy in church, or maybe it's hard to get out to church, or maybe we can't remember what the preacher preached in church a week later. So we think, well, that really wasn't worth my time, and so I'm just going to quit coming. But we know better than that. So why do we quit witnessing when we don't see the results like we think we should see them in the lives of those that receive Christ? You just don't quit. You just keep doing what's right. You just keep doing what you should be doing, and let God take care of it from there. Well, as we move into the fourth verse of this parable, God says, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, the harvest was a time of rejoicing, a time of victory, because they didn't have Walmart, they didn't have Kroger, where they could go down and buy their food any time of the year they wanted. If they had a good harvest, they would have a good year for the coming year, plenty to eat. If they had a poor harvest, they had very few avenues to go to get the food that they needed to survive. But God says and gives us the assurance that there will be a harvest someday. Now, as you study, this is a little bit of disagreement or two opinions. Let me put it that way. Two opinions how to understand this. The harvest. Some say, well, it's the harvest of souls getting saved in this life because we faithfully planted the Word and we've nurtured that seed all along the way to see souls come to Christ. And that's certainly a harvest. That's certainly a time of rejoicing. That's certainly a time of victory. But others say that this is talking about the future. That this would be at the judgment seat of Christ, where God then rewards us with that soul winner's crown, and we receive the harvest by way of reward, because God looks out in heaven and see all those that are there because of your witness. Now, you may not have won them all to Christ, and chances are you haven't. You probably only won a small fraction of them. But if you've been faithfully sharing God's Word, planting the seed and nurturing the seed and watering the seed, souls are going to get saved. That's what this verse is telling us. Souls will be saved. And as I said earlier, many of those, you won't have any idea that they had gotten saved. Because they may moved out of the area, or they may never have gotten back to you to let you know. But there they are, among heaven's crowd, and you had a part in it. You and a bunch of others, but nevertheless, you had a part in it. If you're faithful, and God, who keeps perfect records and never misses a service for Him, will reward you with that. There is a coming, a time of rejoicing and a time of victory, if we'll stay faithful. But some Christians just won't witness. They've quit. They've given it up for perhaps one of the three reasons we saw here. Because it takes too much work. Because the results aren't immediately apparent. Or because they didn't see the results they expected. Don't be like that tonight. Let's be faithful in sharing the gospel message with all that we can, whether it be through word of mouth or whether it be through the distribution of gospel tracts. I just ordered a whole bunch of tracts. They haven't come in yet. But we want to keep tracts down there so that you can hand them out all over town, all over your community. And perhaps someone will get saved if you'll be faithful. And you may not know, as I said, till heaven. But just keep planting the seed. Just keep planting the seed. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this parable that we've been given tonight to study and to look into of planting the seed. Father, we know that as poles are taken, so few Christians are faithfully planting the seed. And I can't help but wonder if that's why our country's in the mess it's in. Because there's so few Christians, because the Christians that there are just aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Father, help our church family not to be that way. Help us to be faithful. For Your glory and honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.